You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're listening in Wausau on WXCO, we appreciate it. Maybe you're listening on 93.5 The Tap in Eau Claire or on WLCX in La Crosse. We are so glad that you decided to join us. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. And if you missed the first hour of the show, you can always get our podcast at Civic Media's website. So go to civicmedia.us. That's the correct website. Yes, it is.
That is.
So go there and listen to the podcast. You never have to miss any of the wit and wisdom that pours out of our head holes onto your radio eardrums. So I make that sound as gross as possible so that people will go, I have to see what that's
all
about.
You can also stay connected with the app, right?
There's an app.
You can listen to any of the stations. You can download the app for free at your Google store, your Apple store. So go grab that if you haven't already.
We are so high-tech and accessible. There's no way
and
that
different
you
with the .us.
Us.
We have to be different with the .us.
Fight the power of big internet trying to get us to .com or .org. We say no.
No,
we shan't.
We are not doing that. We are not doing
buckle
that.
Buckle to the... you want to get involved, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do I say it fast? Yes, listen faster. 855-75-CIVIC. All right, here's the question. Where do you get your news? We know you get it here on Civic Media.
Sure.
We try to give you the facts as we can research them. But, you know, people watch the news. I still, and this will shock the Boyquarium, I still like to watch the nightly news.
Sure.
My local news, I watch David Muir on the network. And I like to read the papers. Now, I go online versions of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think of big news organizations in this country, the New York Times, of course, the paper of record, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, and then you move into all your local papers,
mm-hmm.
and those used to be the bastions of journalism. You know, when you heard the Washington Post, you thought, oh, Woodward and Bernstein, these guys are breaking Watergate. The investigative reporting is there. We can trust the news that comes out of here because those are journalists who have devoted their whole life to this. And there are still journalists who are devoting their whole lives to
right.
it. Unfortunately, the places where they can ply their trade are shrinking. And yesterday, the Washington Post became another one of those places because they laid off roughly 1 in 3 employees yesterday. It marked one of the most severe cutbacks in the newspaper's history.
Yeah.
It pushed an already strained newsroom to the breaking point. Jamie, it's sad news when,
it is.
You know, economics...
If
that's all it is.
And hear what I don't believe it is. I don't believe it is at all. Because Jeff Bezos, we saw this during the election when he refused to publish his editorial board's opinion of who people should vote for and essentially pulled the endorsement for Kamala Harris from, mm-hmm. from the people who wrote it on his staff. He has been towing the line of politics versus staying alive in essentially. I mean, he's a billionaire, but I'm saying staying alive as far as the mediaverse goes. And who wants to draw
right.
Who wants to rile up the president and have him go after you? Nobody wants that right now, right? So, no, I don't believe that this had to do with the economics of it all, even though that's what they're going to say. And what I also love is Jeff Bezos is no better than anybody else in corporate media. The employees learned of the cuts after being told to stay home while the layoff notices mm-hmm. were being sent. And that followed weeks of warning, though, that deep reductions were coming. In fact, the executive editor, his name is Matt Murray, he acknowledged the scope of the cuts in an internal memo saying that nearly all news departments were being affected. And it really did, Brian, affect a lot.
It took a whack out of most of the pair. The sports section is almost non-existent anymore.
Yeah.
And who doesn't... When you were little, it was the funnies and the sports section.
Of course.
Before, and that's how a lot of people learn to read.
Right.
Is by looking at their parents' newspaper going, oh, what did the Badgers do last night?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, it's... Here's the thing I'll say. While this is sad happening on the national level to a news organization, as you said, a bastion on the Hill, while this is sad happening to this organization, this has already been happening on your local level for years. Mm-hmm. And there are certain newspapers in the country and certain areas that absolutely do not have any sort of actual local news coming to them from reporters in that area. And Wisconsin is one of the prime areas where this is happening. There are places in this state that literally have a newspaper office that's open for 2 hours twice a week. That's it.
Yeah. And if you go to the websites of some of these papers, you go, oh, they all look the same. Yes, because they're all owned by the same company.
Right.
You're getting a majority of the same news. The small papers, like you were mentioning, Jamie, have either gone away or are reprinting stuff from wire services, and maybe something about a local board meeting, maybe.
Right.
It's hard to find good journalism. And I know this administration has been talking, and in the first term too, fake news was the thing. And that's another gaslighting move to try to sow doubt in your mind about what you're seeing, and anything I don't agree with is fake. And so it's hard. And Jeff Bezos wants to maintain that relationship he has with the White House. Now, I want to ask you, Jamie, you've worked in newsrooms before. Mm-hmm. You've been a journalist for a long time. Is access more important than ethics? That seems to be the question I keep having when I watch these reporters allow Caitlin Collins to be dressed down, when I see the other journalists allow the president to call somebody little piggy on a plane when they dare to ask a question. I know as a news organization, you want access. We saw when AP had to fight, when they were going to be thrown out because AP, one of the most non-biased news organizations you could ever ask for, they were going to get tossed because they asked questions and the president didn't like that. The administration didn't like that. So my question is access more important than ethics?
I will say that obviously I've been in news for quite some time. I go back to the early 2000s when I started my career and ended up producing my first 5 p.m. newscast. I think it's changed. Ethics used to be the most important. Ethics mm-hmm. were absolutely where you drew the line. I can honestly say that the GM I very first who hired me right out of college, I had no business producing a 5 p.m. show. He saw something in me. He gave me that slot. He would not have ever, even though he could be an abysmal human being, he would have never allowed one of his reporters, female or male, to be dressed down by any official like that. And he would have told us that it was not worth covering if that was going to happen to us. I can honestly say that because it actually happened to us in the city that I was producing news. He actually pulled us from that beat and said, until they can treat you with respect, we will not be covering that anymore. I have a lot of
friends. The danger there, and I admire that move by him. The danger in this situation, in the current situation, is where do we draw the line?
Yes.
Where if nobody is watching, we see what they're doing when everybody's watching.
And
so if nobody's watching, but at the same point, if we're watching as casual bystanders instead of actively trying to get to the bottom of things or pointing out the illegalities.
Yep. And I think that's where I think that's where the switch came from the ethics to the access, because news is also competing with the social media world, right? Mm-hmm. We have somebody over on our socials right now who's watching us, pointing out that anyone with a camera or a Wi-Fi connection can report the news. The more sensational it is, the more viral it will go. And that's exactly what's happening, because in my opinion anyway, news is being forced to take a different turn than it's ever had to because people are going to social media and things are being more sensationalized. So it changes where the ethics go, because, you mentioned it during Watergate. Can you imagine Bernstein like getting dressed down by the president?
And then
he wouldn't have. And they wouldn't have also never stopped covering it because the president got upset. They would have never stopped.
Because Nixon was furious at everybody.
Right.
And they didn't care. care. They kept investigating the story.
And by the way, Congress also did their job in that too, but I digress.
Well, let's not, why drag Congress into an argument? We've been talking about papers and we'll get, Dick has been hanging on.
Yes.
He's in Madison. He called 855-75-CIVIC. Dick, welcome to the show.
Guys, you just hammered it out of the park. The small papers across the state, across the country, are collapsing, are the reason we're in the mess we're in my opinion. I mean, it's quite obvious. And, you know, where do I get most of my news? I love the stuff you're talking about, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. I watch pretty much MSNBC. And they brought over a guy, from AP, Jonathan Lemire, years back, who asked Trump a question during that Helsinki debacle of his in first term. And he's one of their better people that's on in the morning, in my opinion. And AP, like you said, is nothing but just straight up fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much this morning.
We like MSNBC, but we'd rather you listen in to us, Dick. We appreciate the call.
Yes.
Thanks very much for doing that. So it's this quandary that we're in where do we risk as journalists being banished, or do we just stand there and watch? And I have to imagine the other reporters in that room who have any sort of ethical compass are watching the president talk to people like this and realizing, one, it seems to be mostly directed at female reporters, and two, it is just out of the realm of normal decorum. Nobody talks to people like that, let alone the president of the United States talking to an accredited member of the free press.
What I think is interesting is that nobody else is calling it out. This happened during the first administration. And what I think is troubling and sad and frustrating, especially if you've been in this business long enough, is that we have become okay with it. We've been okay with him dressing down a female reporter. We've been we've become okay with him calling a female reporter piggy. Now, we talk about it in the sense that as soon as it happened and everybody brings it up, but nobody's actually doing anything about it. Nobody's actually taking the time to say, you know, this is not, we're not going to continue to report on the things that you're doing or air your words until you can address us. And I honestly don't think it would matter with this administration. I think that's probably what they want, because they want their chosen networks, the more right-wing leaning networks, to come in and cover the news. And I understand
if nobody
that.
If nobody points out that the emperor has no clothes, the emperor can do whatever they want.
That's right.
And that's basically where we're at. When now we've got journalists being arrested.
Yes. Yes.
It is, as somebody who's been in, listen, I'm not a newsman by any stretch of the imagination, but I have hosted talk shows for decades talking about things because I know I am free to talk about things. I can read the newspaper knowing this is not state information or disinformation being pushed down my throat.
Right. We've got Al over on our text line listening on WMDX says the AP today is what Walter Cronkite was back in the day. Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably the most accurate.
Because you can trust AP, and everybody, everybody trusted Walter Cronkite.
Right. And, you know, this is why I think local media is so important. Going back to that point, you got to get your facts. You got to know what's happening on your local level, because that's where the real impact in your life is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be informed. And without that local media, it becomes really, really difficult and dangerous. 7:19 right now. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I just want to keep listening to the music. It's 7:22 right now. That's such a great song. You are listening.
Can we have a musical interlude in the show?
Ooh, I like that idea. We could do it on Friday. It's kind of decompressed.
Just a montage of all of our favorites. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Here's a question for you at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And yes, I don't know why I framed it by telling you it's a question. I'm going to ask, and you're going to hear the inflection in my voice. And in your mind, you will see the question mark at the end of the sentence. But how do you feel about this idea of nationalizing our elections? We've been talking about it for the last few days, which, again, this is not new. Something we never thought we'd have to talk about, but we do. Good news, and listen, I don't throw Ron Johnson flowers very often. Usually, I hold the bouquet and think about striking people with them. But today, I'm going to throw him a couple flowers, partial. They're going to be little. They're not. It's not the whole bouquet. You might get one or two.
Oh, yes.
Because Ron Johnson has said that he disagrees with the president and his suggestion that Republicans should nationalize elections. He made these comments during a telephone town hall Tuesday, when he was asked about the president's recent remarks on that. That's a nice start, Jamie.
Yes, it is. And let me be the first to say that it won't shock anybody that I listened to the entire hour and a half town hall just to see what he had to say. Because there were conversations about multiple subjects in this, coming from constituents, sure, coming from reporters. So he was really forced to answer. There were a couple of times when, as we were talking about, if you joined us last segment, about media, where he essentially dressed down some of the female reporters.
That's becoming way too normalized.
It is. It really, truly is. But what I found interesting is that, if you've been following along, Trump said that a Republican should take over voting in at least 15 places. So far, he hasn't specified which states or municipalities. He's repeated these unfounded claims that undocumented immigrants were being brought to the U.S. to vote, despite voting being limited to U.S. citizens. Like, you actually have to be a U.S. citizen in order to cast to vote, but yeah. Facts, I digress. Johnson said that he does not support federal control of elections, but favors basic national standards like citizenship requirements over voter ID. This was his quick response yesterday. Cut three, please. That was pretty much all he said.
Okay.
It was short. It was short, but it was very much out of line with what the president so far has been saying he would like to do. Now, he did go on in this particular town hall, Brian, to criticize Wisconsin's early in-person absentee voting, saying that the state has gone way too far by allowing people who don't have access immediately to polls or are disabled or senior citizens. We have allowed them way too much power in this state to cast a vote. And darn those drop boxes. Darn them.
Oh,
They've ruined
the
whole
existence
thing.
Is that, yes, it's ruined the whole thing. The fact that now more people can cast a vote, that's not how this system was set up. One person, one vote, that's hogwash. One person, one vote, if you can get off of work during this particular day and find out what school or church or gymnasium that your polling place is and navigate all of that and then get there. I used to be one of these guys who waited till election day. Mm-hmm. I was very staunch. I wait till election day. I didn't care what anybody else did. If they needed to vote early, whatever. Now it's so convenient.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm so amazed that voter turnout is still so low. They couldn't make it easier for us to vote.
Right.
We could just, I think last election, I went like 3 or 4 days before election day. I strolled right in.
Yep.
Bang. I voted. And you know what? I didn't even worry. I got the receipt. I saw it counted in the machine.
Yep.
I knew my vote counted, and I walked out happy. Put on my sticker. That was that.
There's no reason to make voting harder. Voting is there's no reason for it. Voting is a right that we have as U.S. citizens. It should not be made harder.
Jamie, what if people vote against me? That if it's too easy to vote against me, that doesn't seem like a good idea.
It's not. He needed a participation trophy a couple times in life, I think. Len over on our text line from Madison saying, well, our monetary system is nationalized. How has that turned out? I think
it's a false equivalency.
I don't think
Len.
You can.
All due respect.
Agreed.
I don't think that doesn't wash. There's a difference. And you know, yes, the monetary system was set up so we could go from state to state.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be going to another country. Also, I would refer you back to a document called the Constitution. And I know we keep hammering
it
on the Constitution.
So pesky,
it's like I'm
though.
Studying for... I know, and I remember in seventh grade having to take the Constitution test, and it being like, oh, my God.
It's just in the way. It's just in the way. It's amazing what happens when judges follow the Constitution and true attorneys follow the Constitution.
Can't we just do what we want?
Totally in the way. Now, by the way, Senate Majority Leader John Thune has also echoed Johnson's stance, saying he is not in favor of federalizing elections due to the, what is it? Constitutional concerns, by the way. So
well,
funny.
What are those? What does the Constitution say? What kind of authority over election? Who has that authority?
The
Jamie?
States. According to the U.S. Constitution, states have the authority over elections, though Congress can set certain regulations. But it is the states that run their elections. Hey, it's why you have local election offices, why you have people who election poll workers. That is why, because the states are in charge and each precinct is also in charge of their election under the state jurisdiction. That is how this works. This is it really bothers me when
that doesn't seem
I get really upset when we start talking about just dismantling the Constitution, because you can't do it based on a whim and what suits your needs. There's a process that even is in place to dismantle certain amendments or add certain amendments. So I get really upset.
But Jamie, listen, I feel there is a lot of fraud or fraud. So we need to usurp the the Constitution.
Well, we'll just start searching all the warehouses. It's fine. 7:29 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. It's the Civic Media.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. We're glad you're with us. Spread the word. Tell all your friends and then get involved in the program. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, and take us with you with the Civic Media app, because we're space age like that.
We are space age like that. We like to be with the current times. Like
I love apps. I do. I listen to a lot of things on the apps.
What I love about our app, a little sales pitch here. What I love about our app is all of the stations are listed. So whether you want to listen to political talk, whether you want to listen to country music, whether you want to do some adult hits, it's all on there. We've even got oldies on there. So check it out sometime. There's a plethora of things for you to choose from, because I don't know if you know this, but we're kind of a big deal. We've got like 30 stations across the state. So, you know.
That's not bad. And we're on a bunch of them. Thanks to everybody who's listening along the network this morning. All right. Listen, I don't even know if we're going to need this information, because we don't know if we're going to have elections in November. But there's some as of today.
Yes.
There are midterm elections scheduled.
Right.
There's elections that could throw the balance of power.
Right.
In the U.S. Senate.
Right.
From Republican held control to Democratic, because it is razor thin at this point.
It is.
The Republicans hold a very, very small lead in the House. They have 53 seats in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Jamie, you have found and deciphered through all your meticulous research races that may decide control of the Senate. And it's not just, like we've been talking a lot about, and people have been theorizing that, well, it could be a blue tsunami.
It could.
Just rolling through. But there's some places where that may not be as easy as we hope.
So let's be very clear here. The map, the election map, is very Republican friendly. And so, which could potentially outweigh any sort of difficult political environment for the Republicans and some of the current actions from the Trump administration. So this map actually makes some of this a bit of a steep climb, because the Democrats would need to flip four different seats to take control of the Senate. And Democrats are defending key seats currently in Georgia and Michigan, both states that the president won in 2024. While their best pickup opportunities happen to be in Maine and North Carolina. Now, party leaders are saying that they must win all four to have a realistic shot at the majority, also meaning they have to make that pickup and they can't lose any. So that's going to be a little trickier than everybody thinks. And I get that, I get the blue tsunami talk, but we also have to look at it in a little bit more realistic terms if you're somebody who likes to follow these things. So Republicans are betting.
Do we know anybody like that?
just maybe a few. So Republicans are betting the map, and Trump's policy agenda is going to carry them through. Democrats really hoping that there's voter frustration over the economy and cost of living issues are giving them a little bit momentum. Now, polling shows that Democratic voters currently are more motivated. Although Republicans face a bit of a similar challenge, turning out the Trump-aligned voters without his name on the ballot. And if you were listening to the program the first hour, we actually talked about that in regards to J.D. Vance and his popularity within the party. Now, beyond the top-tier races, Democrats really see longer-shot opportunities in places like, which I find fascinating, Alaska, Ohio, Texas, and even Iowa. Republicans will be defending those open seats and also navigating some really high-stakes primaries of their own. 9 months ago, just 9 months ago, which, I mean, 9 months ago, think back to that 9 months ago. I can't even remember what I was doing 9 months ago. That's how crazy life has been.
It was like May?
Right. Oh, yeah, something like that. Spring. So it was easy. Nice.
Jeez,
yes.
That's when I started here.
Yes. So both parties 9 months ago agreed that the economy will be the dominant issue. That was just 9 months ago. Turnout, though, candidate quality and unexpected events could also ultimately decide control of the Senate. Now,
are you, Jamie, when you say cost of living in the economy, are you talking about affordability? Because I've heard that's a made-up term.
Yes, and tariffs don't exist, or they don't actually affect you. It's fine. I mean, these are things that we're being told to watch. Now, if you're somebody who pays attention to elections, and it becomes kind of like your Super Bowl, present company probably included in that, there are some key toss-ups. I love elections. They're just so awesome.
I know.
I get so nerdy and so excited about these things, but there are some.
I'm glad you do, because then we can glom onto some of your knowledge.
Right. So when we look at the key toss-up states, let's talk about Georgia really quickly. Democratic Senator John Ossoff is seeking re-election, again, a state that Trump carried in 2024. He's a strong fundraiser. He's charismatic. He is campaigning on economic and healthcare issues. Republicans are facing a contested primary there, with candidates closely aligning themselves with the Trump agenda. If you go to Maine, Senator Susan Collins, she's still clutching her pearls up there, telling us that she's all but concerned. And she is seeking re-election in a state that has voted against Trump three different times. Now, occasionally, we've seen her break with him and then come back to him and still support the GOP agenda. But national Republicans, you can tell that her seat is in trouble. And watch what seats the Republicans invest the most time and money in. Hers is one of them, because they're obviously worried about Democratic competition. Democrats are divided between an establishment favorite, though, Governor Janet Mills, who I believe is 78 years old at this point. She's 78, I believe.
But
she is a progressive challenger. She has a progressive challenger, Graham Plantner, who is he is coming on strong. And so obviously, as you can imagine, that is making a little angst in the Democratic traditional ranks. In Michigan, there is an open seat following Senator Gary Peters' retirement, and he has triggered a competitive Democratic primary. Republicans are backing the former Representative Mike Rogers, who has Trump's full endorsement. Now, we've seen in the last couple.
That backfires.
It does. I would not want
to be a candidate and receive the president's full endorsement.
Right. In North Carolina, the Democrats are seeing their best pickup chance. This is their best pickup chance after Tom Tillis opted not to run again. Obviously, Tom Tillis not running has given him a backbone. He's been able to stand up to the administration. Former Democratic Governor Roy Cooper has entered the race, and he has very strong approval ratings. So that will be one to pay attention to. When it comes to the expansion opportunities, as I mentioned, the Democrats are targeting Alaska. Interestingly enough, they have former Representative Mary Peltola, who is potentially going to make a run at this. The state, though, always leans pretty heavily Republican if you pay attention to past elections. Yeah. Now, in Ohio, this is where it gets interesting. right? Because this is a man who actually was in office, lost his seat, and Ohio, of course, the home to Vice President J.D. Vance. Former Senator Sherrod Brown is seeking a comeback against GOP Senator John Huss.
Don't call it a comeback.
I think this one's going to be interesting because even Ohio is not when you watch the polling, and I get take it with a grain of salt, but even Ohio is starting to sour on some of these policies. And J.D. Vance is not exactly the most popular guy in his home state.
No, he's not the favorite son of Ohio.
Mm-mm.
And
he's not, is he?
I don't even know if he's from Ohio.
I don't think he is originally, is he? Like, somebody correct me on the text line if I'm wrong. If you know all the background of J.D. Vance, please share it with us.
I don't want to be a J.D. Vance birther, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
We don't want to go down that route.
Appalachia.
I believe Appalachia. So. But if you know anything about J.D. Vance and you can correct us on the background, please do. 1-855-752-4842. 1-855-75-CIVIC. We are not above being corrected here on the morning show. Iowa also remains really difficult terrain for Democrats. Trade policy impacts on farmers could factor in. All right, Frank, our senior producer is, and Parker, our tech producer, saying that he was born in Middletown, Ohio. So he's got the natural birthright. Nobody's arguing with his birth certificate, Brian.
Right, he's not a carpetbagger. I was not either. I didn't know. But still, I do know from much news coverage that he's not beloved.
No.
And our producer, Frank, doesn't like the fact that he went to Ohio State.
That should be the only reason we have a dissenting opinion on J.D. Vance. Let's be realistic.
No, there's a lot of reasons to hold him in less than high regard.
Now, I will say this when it comes to these expansion opportunities, I think Iowa is also going to be interesting only because you had Senator Joni Ernst, who said she would not run again after she basically told her constituents that they were all going to die and she was okay with that. Remember mm-hmm. the Medicaid debacle?
That was beautiful, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we're all going to die.
Yeah. And there are some really great candidates in Iowa. So I think that's going to be a really interesting race. Now, I haven't seen, and again, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I did a little digging into this last night, and I couldn't find where anybody in Ohio, or Iowa, pardon me, had jumped into, on the Republican side, a full throttle yet for that Ernst seat. So if I'm wrong, I want to know about it, and then I get to do a little research of my own. So please correct me if you know something I don't, at least on the Republican side. Now, Texas could be competitive depending on the outcome of the GOP and the Democratic primaries. We already saw just last weekend that plus 17 Trump district flip in a special mm-hmm. election. So I don't know if I never want to say because it's Texas, right? And they are solidly a red voting state. But at the same time, is all of Texas district safe? Is this why the GOP in Texas is pushing so hard for redistricting to essentially rid people of the right to choose their representative, because they know in some districts how that's going to go? I mean, that's what I go back to, right?
Makes sense. We got a text. This is interesting, and I know you'll find it interesting. Roger in Stevens Point sent us a text, and you can too, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Roger says he was on a short road trip yesterday, Jamie, and Civic Media Mornings was also on in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yes.
On WFHR. Yes. So shout out to Wisconsin Rapids, who is not on my list, but listen, I've been there.
We are on the mornings there right now.
Fantastic.
So yes. Yes, so great little area, great town.
And Mark, who lives in Prairie du Sac, says, if I lived in Alaska, I might worry about Trump gifting Alaska to Russia. Yeah, maybe they decide it's not worth the risk, and then they vote Democratic for a change a little bit.
So there's going to be some other races to watch as we go through this midterm cycle. There's some open seats in Minnesota and New Hampshire. They're expected to stay Democratic, but they're being closely monitored. We saw that with the conversation of Governor Walz stepping down. Amy Klobuchar has now thrown her hat into the ring. You have Tina Smith in Minnesota. So there's going to be a lot to watch, and then especially with the climate. There's some high-profile primaries in Kentucky, Illinois, Louisiana, and Massachusetts that could shift a broader, could signal a broader shift within the parties. And then with 9 months until Election Day, because yes, folks, 9 months until Election Day, both parties are still agreeing that the economy is going to dominate the debate. But turnout, candidate quality, some late-breaking events, because who knows what the Trump administration will do to help out his own party within 9 months, could all shift things quite dramatically. So it's going to be fun. Buckle up, folks. It's going to be a good time. Super Bowl of politics right here.
Prepare for the onslaught of commercials and
they're already started. They've already started. Yes, I've been seeing them all morning. 7:48 Civic Media mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
7:52 right now, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. What snack are you stocking up for in advance of the big game? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Good news. Some of them will be a little more affordable.
Ooh,
yes,
we like that.
Here comes the affordability. The affordability word. But I don't want to... Listen, I don't want to sully snack foods and politics. They need to stay in their own silos, to use some corporate speak. And I noticed this yesterday, but the reason I'm bringing this up, Jamie, is because PepsiCo is cutting prices on many of their popular snacks ahead of the Super Bowl. But they are also saying it is not just short-term. These are long-term price reductions. Now, they're not a lot, maybe 15% on a lot of their products, but it's stuff like Cheetos, Doritos, Lay's potato chips.
So they know what
Pepsi
we need.
Snacks.
So what they essentially know is that in this time of political strife, we need snack foods to help us cope. And they're making sure that our pocketbooks can handle the amount that we're going to be consuming. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes, and okay. I'm wondering where the problem comes in with that. I am going to strap on.
I'm going to
strap Doritos on like a feed bag and just wander around to try to dull my senses with all of this that's going on. So here's an example of the cuts. An 8.5 ounce bag of Doritos is going to drop from $6.29, which is insane.
To
$5.49, which is just a little mentally disturbed.
Here's my other problem with this. Okay, you get one of those little 8.5 ounce. There's like 4 chips in there. Why are they charging
Jamie,
me $1 a chip?
Because it's by weight, not volume, Jamie. I don't know how many times you have to read that on the bag. This is you open a bag, there's
chip.
Just dust in here. That's a lot of dust. It's very heavy dust. It's weight, not volume. You need the air to cushion, theoretically, all the chips so that they don't smash and get all crumbly. And yet you open the bag and all it's in there, and you're like, what are you? Were you using this as asphalt?
Right.
Everything
is.
Especially regular chips.
Yeah. Tom from Hartford chiming in, listening on at WMDX this morning, just says Cheetos, yes. So I'm going to assume that he is giving us his stance on Cheetos. I love Cheetos. They make my fingers orange, though, and you can't eat them without your fingers turning orange.
Well, all of these, Doritos kind of the same thing, not to the extent that Cheetos do. My wife, when she's sick, this is how... We've joked that I am the eye roll husband, that I do things when I don't really have to. Years and years ago, when we first met, my wife told me that when she's sick, she loves the puffed Cheetos.
Oh, those are great.
Just the puffed ones.
Yeah.
Right. So if she's really sick and I happen to be at the store, I bring them home.
That's so nice. If you don't go to the store, she's out of luck.
Or is it just me not wanting? I just don't want her to hear her whining.
Well, that could be that,
too. So if she's eating Cheetos, she's not whining.
Marriage is always about towing the line. It's about being that really nice spouse or like, oh, how much longer do I have to listen to endure this, right? And listen to it? Yes. Alicia chiming in.
It's the illusion of being thoughtful
Yes.
And acting in your own self-interest at the same time.
Alicia chiming in over on our text line, or on our socials, I should say, saying, now we need gym memberships to be on major sale. Yes, you're not wrong about that.
Now, Big Snack and Big Fitness are not working together, Alicia. Those are the two forces that are battling each other here. Now, do you want a snack or do you want to get in shape?
Well, you know, you can do both in moderation, I suppose.
Of course.
I don't do anything in moderation, so I that doesn't apply to me. PepsiCo says that the product size, the quality, and the taste will remain absolutely the same. So they're not going to change that, and they're still going to only give you 5 chips, but it's fine. The company
I'm going to hammer that point.
The company is also looking to boost weak North American sales after they had to raise prices faster than their competitors in recent years. So please don't mistake this for them being very kind and cordial to you. Retailers, by the way, set the final prices, but PepsiCo expects savings to be reflected in the stores. Now, I do have a question for you.
Yes.
You know, since they're doing this right before the Super Bowl, and I know tomorrow we're going to have some conversations, you want to be listening because we're going to give some stuff away tomorrow, okay? Oh. So be listening tomorrow, all right?
I know. We are not above bribing you to listen.
Employees cannot win.
Shoot.
But we're going
to
be giving some stuff away. Fine. So listen tomorrow for the Super Bowl. I have to ask, though, do you have a favorite Super Bowl snack that is on this list or not on this list?
Well, I've been trying not to eat as many snacks, but I will say, yesterday I was going through the local grocery store flyers, and Doritos are on sale. There will be Doritos in play.
Nice.
Here on Sunday. Other than that, usually we'll make like a buffalo chicken dip is a big one here.
Okay.
We enjoy that. But yeah, there will definitely be Doritos.
Well, I picked a really awful week to start an intermittent fast.
Yeah, how's that going to go on Sunday?
Well, probably just the same as it has. But I did start an intermittent fast, so I'm down to the 5 to 6 ounces of protein twice a day, 2 cups of veggies, and a cup of fruit. It's going very well for anybody who's wondering. I have lost 8 pounds in 3 days. Mostly water weight, as my 19-year-old will always point out. In other words, Mom, don't get too full of yourself. Like, you're not doing that great. But in our house...
It is great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For Super Bowl Sunday, I will have a lot of mini cucumbers for me to eat because that is very much part of an intermittent fast. Maybe some baby carrots. There will be more snacks for the husband and the young adult children. Really anything that I set in front of them. My family is not picky like that. We are going to have turkey meatballs in the slow cooker, though, with a teriyaki sauce. All compatible with my fast, by the way. So,
it's nice of you to make them. I might have Now that you brought it up, I may have to make some meatballs.
Yeah, I've got some recipes for you, let me tell you. I love a good slow cooker. We're also going to have some pepper jack loaded cauliflower.
I got to get that recipe,
Yes.
Yes, so it's going to be fun. And listen, it's one of those days where I know it's coming, and I'm going to enjoy myself, and then Monday I'll beat myself up. But tomorrow we will be back, Jamie.
Yes, we will. At least that's what they tell us anyway. So it's 7:59 right now. This is Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Thanks for listening and being part of the program. Thanks to everybody who called and texted today. Tell your friends we're here. Get the app. Download the podcast. Have a good time. We will talk to you again tomorrow morning. On the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.